are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It is a Tuesday. It is our weekly week with Mr. Nick Winkler. I'm going to bring him out in 1 second. I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the podcast on iTunes. You can find it on Spotify. You can find this podcast and all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network just about anywhere. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. If you want to get a hold of Nick, he's at Bay Area Wink. Hitting me up on Twitter, BD Peacock, that's the best place to get the mailbag questions in. We will be dipping into the mailbag today. You can also email the show, LockedOn49ers at Gmail. And of course, we've got Facebook, Instagram pages, and all that social media stuff covered. So let's not waste any time. Let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas, how are you, sir?
Hey, buddy, I'm good. Coming off a win, you know, and Mullen's out there doing his thing. You got all kinds of great stuff on the offense, and you know the defense clearly looks like the. I don't know. I mean, is this the guy that we're going to stick with? Is Robert Saleh the man? I mean, last week I made a very controversial breakfast move.
Yes, you did.
And now I think all wafflers are welcome. Come on board.
This is like not even a waffle anymore. This is a complete flip. This is like I don't know what you would call this, but after seeing Robert Saleh, it's funny how quickly fans will jump on and off bandwagons. And like everyone hated the Dante Pettis pick a few weeks ago when he had the knee injury. And now everyone's like, yes, Dante Pettis, he's amazing. He reminds
me of 3 weeks in a row. Hey, yeah. He's my new favorite.
And
but no, I mean, the defense just looked good. I mean, it was a bunch of guys too that, you know, like DJ Reed, Marcel Harris, I mean, even Marshall looked good out there. There's a bunch of guys just coming up with big plays and making Saleh look good. And that's, a lot of it has to do with luck. I mean, again, a bunch of turnovers, you know, a couple fumbles didn't go their way. And, you know, it still kind of baffles me as to how that's happening all season.
So
but
weird.
I think a little bit more did go Saleh's way this week. And you mentioned it on your show yesterday, and I thought the exact same thing when I saw it, when he got pumped after a big third down stop. And it was like, yeah, there you go. That's what Brian was calling for.
Yeah, we were talking about that, how he's always just so it's almost like flatline, like,
yeah,
and even his responses post game are the same as the first stuff he was. And I was like, I wonder if the message is just not hitting home. And because usually the defensive coordinators are the crazy ones and they're like the out of their mind guys. And he's so calm and is so different, which is sort of refreshing. But at the same time, I wonder, it's like, yeah, a little passion. Let's see a little bit more passion throughout the entire defense. So maybe it stems from the meeting rooms and the sideline. But we saw more of that, and that they continually, because look, the 49ers, especially George Kittle, went off in the first half. They didn't score in the second half, and the defense needed a hold, and they did a good job at the beginning shutting them out and holding them to those two touchdowns on long drives that took forever. That was I think that was really big step, especially for the defense. As awesome as George Kittle was, as far as for the, because we already knew George Kittle was good, as far as the team goes and how you feel about the team going forward, seeing that defensive unit with so many young guys in there play well, I think was massive.
It really was. And Jeff Wilson Jr. looked good again coming out of the backfield. I mean, he's just that kind of runner. It seems like he fits perfectly into this scheme, you know, where it's like, get the ball, go forward, you know, get to the first down line, whatever you need to do. Don't bounce around. Don't try to look cute. Don't spin backwards and try to take it outside. No, just find the hole, cut, and move.
The nice one spin move. It wasn't like a spinning around outside, but he was right up the middle. He'd already gained a nice chunk of yardage, and he just spun off a tackle. He's water downhill. And you mentioned the one cut runner. That's exactly what this offense calls for, that outside zone scheme, the one cut runner. We've heard about it ever since. I think it was maybe Terrell Davis was the first guy we heard that about, one cut runner. And that's what you need. You don't have to have 4-3. You just have to have vision and be decisive, and you can be pretty good. And so, yeah, I like, you know, he's a serviceable running back. He's not going to, you know, usurp Jerick McKinnon or Matt Breida or, you know, anybody like that. But you don't, like, I'm not worried. It's crazy because it's the second undrafted free agent running back in a row, and you're like, yeah, okay, fine, let's go. Like, you can't say that about other positions, but with Shanahan's offense and particularly with the running back position, it's like, yeah, cool. let's keep rolling undrafted free agents out there. I don't care. Let's put those resources elsewhere.
Find the guys that fit our scheme that no one else seems to want, and we'll bring them in for next to nothing, and they'll produce. And they've shown yet again that they could do that. And you know, I wasn't on board with your don't draft a running back scheme, and I'm starting to get it, man. It's starting to make sense.
And I understand the argument on the other side, too. When you see guys like Gurley and Saquon Barkley going off, it's like,
right.
It's not that they're not good players. It's like, yes, give me those players. But number two overall, and here's the other thing about it. And like, let's say, okay, so Saquon went number two overall. The Niners drafted Solomon Thomas number three overall. Which player would you rather have? Obviously, right. Saquon Barkley. But if year after year you're drafting, say, a running back there, or you have the opportunity to draft maybe the next year it's Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa or Myles Garrett or, you know, Bradley Chubb, whatever defensive end that hits and is a monster pass rusher, I would take the coin flip of back-to-back years maybe missing on a guy if you hit on the guy the next time versus taking that running back 2 years in a row. You know what I mean? I mean, you're not going to take back that high 2 years in a row. But I'm just saying the opportunity cost of drafting a stud quarterback, pass rusher, a franchise left tackle, a lockdown corner, even if you don't hit, I think it's still worth it because what we're seeing at running back, because the difference between Saquon Barkley and Jeffrey Wilson Jr. is nowhere near the difference between, say, Khalil Mack and Cassius Marsh or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. No, you're totally right about that. It's all about playing the numbers. And yeah, there are a lot of running backs out there too, that probably guys that are on the street right now that could get a job if they were in the right scheme. And that plays a lot into it.
Right. Yeah. And it's not that I don't like running backs or don't think these guys are amazing. It's just, it's kind of a luxury.
There you go.
So let's see here. We got to dip in the mailbag. We got to talk a little bit more about this game because we don't get to talk about wins very often here on the show.
I know. Wasn't that fun? Wasn't it just a fun game to watch? It's been a while.
I'm sure most 49ers fans were like that 85-yarder from Kittle. That was like the jump off the couch moment, right?
Yeah.
And it's awesome to have those. And when your team is like battling for the playoffs and things are intense, you're on the edge of your seat. With the 49ers this year, there hasn't been a lot of that. So when you get those moments and you get those games, and it's funny because we talk a lot about, and I'm a draft guy, and we talk a lot about the draft on this show, and a lot of people have gone fully into draft mode and are like, tank, lose every game. If you win, that's a huge loss for the franchise because we want the number one overall pick, we want the most assets possible, or, you know, a particular player, whether it's Nick Bosa or whatever. And I think the general sentiment, though, after this kind of a game was, oh, no, there goes Nick Bosa. And then it was like, but it was worth it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there was also, like you mentioned, the big Kittle touchdown, exciting jump off the couch. There was also the Marshall Harris fourth down stop. You know, I gave like a fist pump and yelled and scared my kids. Yeah, no, those are the kind of games we love, man.
Absolutely. Actually, let's take a quick break here and then we'll dip into the mailbag, talk a little bit more about this victory.
Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment. With Action Heat, their clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat that can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge. So Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget you might be wearing on yourself, which is really cool. So I always envision myself at the top of the mountain, and which is a reminder. And look, when I'm reporting traffic at work recently this week and seeing all the snow that's going on in Tahoe, I'm like, oh man, I got to get up there. That's keeping me warm at the top of a snowy mountain. I mean, it's just an awesome sight for me. And I know my wife is going to love it because she's constantly cold. It doesn't matter if it's 70 degrees outside. She would probably wear some Action Heat. And especially when it gets into the cold winter months, that's something she's going to enjoy getting for Christmas. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body. Whether you're working outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, anybody that loves outdoors or just hates being cold, they've got heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments and products that fit everyone's budget starting at just $39.99. And of course, as a listener of Locked On 49ers, a special offer for you. Save 20% off your entire order for yourself, for gifts for your friends and family. 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or just use the coupon code Locked On. One word, Locked On, at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all of your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat.
Okay, one final note. I'm glad you brought up Marcel Harris, the fourth down stops, too. And the Broncos just kept, it was almost disrespectful. They just kept going for it on fourth downs. Yeah, and the two big stops to end drives were awesome. One of them, they're just like, was it fourth and three? And they're like, we're going to run the ball for 3 yards on fourth down. And props to Cassius Marsh. I just threw him under the bus again, which I tend to do on the show. Sorry, Cassius. It's not your fault.
He had a good game.
Yeah, no, he had a good game. He made that play chasing Philip Lindsay down at the sideline and stopping that play before he was able to get to the first down marker. And then the Marcel Harris stop, which is huge. And anytime, like at this point, seeing, and that was kind of the thing, is like they have all those young players that are thrown in there right now on defense. DJ Reed had like 12 tackles, I think, in that game.
Yeah, 10 and, solo. He had a sack. Yeah, he was all over the place.
Right. And so that is awesome to see those guys develop and just see them get playing time. And it's a little bit reminiscent of last year when, and one, it's like you have to slow down because like, you don't want to give yourself false hope and be like, okay, there we go, Marcel Harris starting strong safety, we're good, you know, because you don't want to get, we've done that before already. So it's awesome to see young players developing, and you take note, but you still have to have your eye on the prize. And really, it's just for depth at this point, because you realize that the 49ers didn't have great depth, and so they need to keep replenishing that talent, more draft picks, maybe get some guys in on top. Like we've talked about Earl Thomas. You bring him in at free safety, that just like, it's like going to the chiropractor, right? And you just line up all your spine, you know, everything gets cracked right into place because you put him at the top and then everything falls into place below him. You have a really good backup and, you know, a captain of your defense. And so things like that. So you add a stud pass rusher. Then when guys like Ronald Blair and Cassius Marsh and Dakota Watson aren't your number one edge guys, and then they fall into their rotational roles where they should be, and then it's like, okay, yes, this is exactly how it should look. And then you can replace guys who get hurt. And by the way, Ronald Blair, who I just mentioned, pretty much deserves an extension, right? I think there's somebody who had that in the mailbag as well. All right, look, this is let's get into the mailbag here because we got some questions to get to. And I talked about one of the emailers that mentioned Ronald Blair, and this was from Ladarian. He said, how do you feel about the development of Ronald Blair? What did you see from Solomon Thomas this week? Seemed to be playing next to Buckner a lot this game. Yeah, thanks for the email, Ladarian. Yeah, Ronald Blair, man, he's been really good. And look, he's not like your stud number one edge guy, but, and it sucks because he's also, I think he could play some big end. He could do a lot of things for the 49ers, but I like Ronald Blair a lot. He brings something to the table. He brings some juice. He can get after the quarterback a little bit. And unfortunately, the 49ers have a lot of guys that are battling for that spot. I don't know what he would deserve if you re-signed him, and I don't think it would cost a lot. So depth-wise, I think Ronald Blair down for a while. He's been a good piece for the 49ers.
Yeah, and he's young, too. He's still 25 years old, and he's just solid, you know? And I did watch I kind of made a point to watch Solomon Thomas on a few snaps. I was like, okay, I'm going to see how he does on this, you know, third and five, third and six. Let's see what happens. And I'll be honest with you, he was getting double-teamed a lot. And I was really shocked by that. I'm like, wait, you got DeForest Buckner right over there. And then he would get double teamed, and then DeForest would get a pressure, you know, or he'd actually get in there and tackle the running back or this and that. I'm like, you guys are doubling the wrong guy. what are you thinking over there?
Right. And I liked what I saw. Yeah. And he's a little undersized for the inside right now. So mm-hmm. I'm guessing they're going to try to use him a lot more inside going forward. It seems like as an organization, that's what they've finally decided, which I think is a good move. So they might actually have him continue to bulk up. He might be, you know, 290 pounds by the end of this and just be 100% full-time interior player. And it sounds like the 49ers are going to really go heavy on edge in the offseason. So they might add a few guys. So there's going to be less playing time for Solomon there. So, yeah, get him inside. He'll be inside 60, 70% of the time anyways because that's how teams are in. That's how often teams are in sub. Put him next to DeForest Buckner, I love it. And he's got some burst off the line, and he can really win a lot of matchups against interior offensive linemen with his initial burst. And I think right now maybe a little undersized-wise, but if he adds a little bit more, I don't think he's going to lose. You know, he's not that super flexible edge rusher guy anyway, so if he adds 10 pounds, it's not going
to
hurt him.
Yeah, just muscle, just some strength to kind of bull rush a guy back.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He'll just be a little bit better inside. And so now he's learning a new position. So maybe more growing pains for him inside, but I think it's a good, it's fine. If you ask me, should he play all the time outside or all the time inside? And there was no back and forth, I would say all the time inside.
So yeah, I like what I've seen in there a lot more than outside, for
right,
sure.
I like that move. But I think still probably, and if it wasn't for all of the big ends the 49ers have, I would say he should still be, you know, a base down end and then kick inside. But and he might end up doing a lot of that. But yeah, in passing downs, sub packages, which is a lot, he should be inside next to Buckner. And let's see him develop there. I like it.
Yeah, I'm into that.
From Diana on Facebook, she says, I feel RD is closer than people think. My proposal for next year, and by the way, she sent this before the game last week, so she was on to something. My proposal for next year, make Earl Thomas the number one priority and sign Clay Matthews. He's a California guy who we could sign on a 1 or 2 year deal, so no future cap hit. Colbert can go to the bench and learn from Thomas or come in when Tart gets hurt again, because apparently he's our new Jimmy Ward as far as health goes. Then draft Bosa if we can stay at number one. Then rest of the draft, only defensive players, and grow that depth and get more talent so guys like Exum, Marsh, Watson can do what they're supposed to, special teams. Maybe if a good wide receiver is there during the draft, the right time, you grab one. What do you think of that plan? We have the cap space to do it. Love the podcast. Thanks. I appreciate the message there on Facebook, Diana, and I'm pretty much going to co-sign on just about everything she said. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, when you really look at the group of young wide receivers, it's not bad if everybody's out there healthy. You know, Bourne's really looked like he could be a good third down guy. Taylor has proven, you know, he could still get it done with his shiftiness. Pettis is coming into his own. Goodwin, you know, it's, and I haven't even mentioned your boy Richie James. So, you know, it's definitely one of those things where why not? Yeah, go out and try to get Bosa. If not, yeah, just defense. The Ravens are showing you, and the Bears, and, you know, these other teams, that you still can win in this league with defense. So why not just stack up and get some safeties, get Earl Thomas, and whatever, man. Just really bulk it up and see what this defense can do.
And the one thing I would say, and I'm 100% on board with all that, the Clay Matthews thing makes sense just because of you have a right now player that you know you can count on that can do what a lot of the things that the 49ers want their Sam linebacker to do. And then you can still continue to draft guys and develop behind him, you know. And right. I think they might want to do that at cornerback, too. Just, you know, a veteran that you don't have to pay big money, long-term contract to. One of the names I've seen out there is maybe Morris Claiborne. Just someone who's like, okay, this is an NFL player. He knows how to play the game. So you know you have a guy that can play NFL cornerback that you can start. And then it's like, okay, Akello, okay, Tarvarius Moore. This is a good veteran cornerback who started NFL games, go beat him out. And so I would like to see that too. And so, you know, Clay Matthews, that'd be the same type of guy. But I wouldn't completely ignore offense. I think you still got to add to the offensive line because that's too important. The 49ers, for all the injuries they've had, they've been pretty good on the offensive line and they've been nicked up, but all those guys have been able to play through the injuries they've had. So I would still continue to add talent on the O-line. Joe Staley going into the last year of his contract. Mike Person's a free agent this offseason. So you can't ignore offensive line. And like she mentions, wide receiver. I'm really looking at the top of that second round. Maybe the top of the third round would be a spot where if the right player is there. And I know John Ledyard here on the podcast. By the way, go back and listen to the John Ledyard episode. It's an evergreen episode. It'll be good all the way through April to the draft. You build your wide receiver core sort of like a basketball team. And the 49ers have a lot of guards and wing players right now. You need that power forward. And so if that right player is there, I think they got to go for it. And we've seen in past drafts, players like Allen Robinson and Davante Adams and Michael Thomas, those are all second round picks. You can find a really good wide receiver in that range of the draft. So if the right guy's there, you go for it. Maybe the top of the third round, depending on how the draft falls. But yeah, let the draft come to you. The 49ers have that obvious edge rush need. If they do have that first pick, it makes things really easy because you will know who that player is and you can sign players accordingly. And then you can let the draft come to you and let it fall into place after that first round pick. So I'm on board with everything Diana said.
All right, got to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more mailbag after this.
You mentioned the offensive line too. I don't know if you heard the stat about Weston Richburg during the game. Did you hear that?
I think I missed that.
Yeah, that he's ranked 30th in the NFL at center.
Oh, Pro Football Focus.
Pro Football Focus. Yeah,
his numbers started out well and they've really dipped. He's been hurt all year long. I haven't had a problem at all with Weston Richburg.
He just keeps playing.
Yeah, he's playing through some stuff. Obviously, I don't think he's been bad. Like, I don't think he's been the worst center in the NFL. I haven't seen that myself. The 49ers have been fine. The 49ers, like, can you think of a time when he stepped on Nick Mullins' foot a couple times? You know, things like that.
Right, there you go.
I haven't seen
that factors in, right?
Right, yeah. I haven't seen Richburg get beat like a drum. You know, it's not affecting the offense. They're running the ball well. I haven't seen defensive tackles blow right past him and hit Nick Mullins. You know, I think the interior line had a little rough go, as every team does with Aaron Donald, maybe a couple other guys that have gotten some pressure, but it's not something that's affected the offense. So I've seen those grades, and it's definitely dipped as the season went on, because it was really, he was had a really good grade for the first few weeks of the season. But I have no worries about Weston Richburg. No, not at all.
There's a lot of money invested there. Plus, Laken Tomlinson, I feel like he gets at least 1 to 2 penalties every single week. I'd love to see how many penalties he's had all season.
Yeah, and he's definitely better than the player the Lions had. And I think the 49ers were lucky to be able to scoop him up and have him develop right in their scheme. And again, not worried about it. Interior offensive line, keep adding some talent, you know, add some guys sure that can come push those guys. But, you know, maybe clean up the penalties. Yeah, he is the guy that is – he's the jump-off sides guy on that offensive line. For
yeah,
sure.
You just hear it. It's like, oh, here it comes. Watch, 75. Boom. Yeah,
it's always 75. I'm glad Kyle Shanahan talked about that too post-game, about how Von Miller's a snap jumper, so they had to go change up that cadence, and then you run the risk of jumping off sides yourself when you change up that count.
They did such a good job, though.
Right. No, they did.
Yeah.
Let's keep this mailbag rolling. We've got some more. Let's go to Twitter. I got a couple questions about Nick Mullins. I'll read them back to back. First from Fernando. He said, question, after seeing BDN play this season, do you think the Niners keep him as his backup and use as trade bait? Or do you see the 49ers seriously think about Mullins as a legitimate competitor for the starting spot next season? And then this from Jeremy for the mailbag. Who has more trade value as of now, Mullins or Beathard?
Beathard's not worth anything right now on the market. No. Mullins is probably the only thing that can get you anything. But at the same time, I think you keep him around. I think you need a backup quarterback in the NFL. And from what we've seen from Beathard and what we've seen from Mullins, it feels like there's not really a competition there.
No, that competition's over.
Yeah.
That's done. And C.J. Beathard doesn't have trade value. I don't think Nick Mullins – look, I mean, he's Nick Mullins has done all right. Nick Mullins isn't going to be getting you – I mean, someone's going to throw a sixth rounder, you know. And yeah, I'd rather have a backup quarterback. So neither guy's going to get traded, because I don't think either guy has enough value. If anybody would have a little bit of value, it'd be Mullins, and there's zero chance that there's a competition for the starting quarterback spot. That's all about the backup spot between Mullins and Beathard.
Maybe get trade him to Washington right now. They need anything they can get.
Right, but most teams would have that fixed in the offseason. So,
right.
Neither guy.
But there's another example of why you need a good guy on your practice squad, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it's so important. And the other thing is, like, don't get ahead of yourself here. We talked about this earlier in the season with Robert Saleh. This time last year, people are like, oh, man, we're going to lose him as a head coach. And then halfway through this season, people are like, fire him. And then now it's like, okay, defense played good 1 week. We love Robert Saleh again. And same thing with Nick Mullins. You know, he's played some bad teams. He's had some garbage time stats. He played really good last week. So he's had some good and some bad. But it's like, yeah, slow down. Teams aren't going to line up to trade for Nick Mullins right now, I don't think. And he's definitely not going to be competing with Jimmy Garoppolo. So get that out of your head, too.
Right. And Saleh, we've waffled once. We'll waffle again. You better keep it up.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. We'll go right back the other way.
All right, this is from Eric. He said, hey, Brian, he didn't say hi to Nick. Should I even read this?
Nah, ditch it.
That's messed up. Sorry, Eric. No, he's
done messed up, Eric.
Shout out to Laverne. Where's Laverne? Is that Washington?
Yeah, I think so.
Eric from
Laverne. No, there's
Laverne.
A Laverne.
California?
Isn't there Laverne in California? Southern California. Yeah, okay. I had a buddy who lived in Laverne.
Oh, really?
It's off the 10, I believe.
Okay, so shout out to all our peeps listening off the I-10. Is that an I or a highway? Is that a state route?
That's an I.
Yeah, I-10. Okay. Still loving the pod.
I dropped a the in there also.
Yeah, that's you're not supposed to do that in the Northern.
That's
California,
what they say right? In Southern California.
Right. In Southern California, they do. That's big. Well, I mean, for those of you who don't know, Nick and I used to be traffic reporters together, and that is a big no-no. You don't say the in front of the highway in the Northern California area.
I heard someone say the 80 once, and everyone cringed like, oh, rookie.
Let's see. So Eric has a confusing question. Great. Bear with me, he says. Do you believe that Kyle and John devised this plan on tanking? Is it possible to have known who would be an elite pass rusher last year, Nick Bosa, that would be available in the 2019 draft? Sorry if it sounds confusing. I suspect they already knew. That's why they didn't go after any pass rushers, because they can get Bosa for cheaper and use money in free agency.
No.
Well, I like the conspiracy theory there. And look, and Shanahan kind of had that going on in the 2017 draft, because they didn't go for any of the quarterbacks that year. They went for Solomon Thomas because he had his eye on Kirk Cousins. And it turned out they ended up drafting for Jimmy Garoppolo instead of going for Kirk Cousins in free agency. So there has been some of that with the front office and looking ahead. I think that in any of the elegant tank, or the undercover tank, as it's called sometimes around the internet, with the 49ers this year is definitely happening because Kyle Shanahan's not playing guys like Pierre Garçon right now, who is hurt, but he's admitted he's healthy enough to play, but he doesn't have to throw him out there because he wants to see the other guys. And even with Goodwin back this week, he still started Bourne and Pettis, and we're seeing Marcel Harris in there, and we're seeing DJ Reed. We're seeing all these guys. Some of it's forced because of injury, but he's not forcing guys back from injury like maybe he would if they were fighting for a playoff spot or something like that. So there is a little bit of that to the tank going on, I think, just because he's just letting the young guys play. And if they go out and win like they did last week, then, you know, all the better. So it's not like he's trying to lose games. And he was coaching 100% to win that game. So it's definitely not a tank, but it's like, let's see what these guys can do. And hopefully they can win some games. But as far as looking at that, go ahead.
Well, they spent a ton of money in the offseason on, you know, bringing in a running back. You know, they spent some money on Richard Sherman. I mean, there wasn't a bunch, but this team came into the season wanting to win, and they expected to take the next step forward. I don't think there was any sort of conspiracy at all. I mean, I like the idea, and I think maybe once Garoppolo went down, they're like, okay, we've lost our star running back, we've lost our star quarterback. I think Garçon may have been out already at that point, and maybe Goodwin had missed a game or two, and Pettis was already out, and they're like, okay, maybe now we can start the tanking.
Right. And it's like when it comes to the draft, looking that far ahead, you can't really know who's going to be great. You can have an idea and think, you know, in 2 years, Nick Bosa is going to be a pretty good prospect. What it was is that they put their assets in the places that they thought they had the best players. And the reason they ended up with Mike McGlinchey is because they thought he was the best player and they needed to fix that part of their offensive line. And so they went with McGlinchey in the draft, and then they didn't see the value elsewhere in the draft, and no good pass rushers were available in free agency. I think that's their mindset with that. They weren't really looking ahead and be like, oh, we can wait because we can get this next guy. They just didn't see the guy that they thought was really great there. And I think they might have missed on some guys because they just didn't even try in any of the other rounds after round one to add some players, which is surprising. And the ends that they have added for 2 years have all been 280 pounders, which is just right. A little bit confusing. So they just haven't really had to really tried enough. And I think maybe some of that was they just didn't like the players that were available. And some of that was, I think, overestimating who they had or underestimating the need of that edge. And I think this season, and you've heard Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch both talk about it, and it's really painfully obvious that that's a need on this team. And I talked about it all offseason, even when the 49ers were playing coy about that need. And then you've heard them talk about it. They're like, yeah, we need that. That's important. And so the 49ers are going to attack edge hard and probably going to be number one pick in the draft. Nick Bosa, if the 49ers get that, if they don't have the first pick, they might have to spend a little bit more in free agency just to make sure, because they're not going to know what's going to happen in the draft. But they're going to add in the draft one or two more guys there as well, I think.
Yeah, and you mentioned edge rusher. I don't know if you happen to see PETA out on the field. He got a few snaps. I'd love to see how many he actually got. I didn't see the snap count thing, but he made a couple of tackles out there, so maybe he's starting to progress a little bit. Finally got off the practice squad.
Right, yeah, we'll see. I don't know how, man, it's if he took this long and with all the injuries and in the lack of edge splash they've had, and he couldn't get off the practice squad yet, I still got to wonder how good he even looked in practice. But it's nice to see him get a shot, and that's one of the things I'm going to do this week. And it got a good response last week about the Dante Pettis film show. So I'm going to look back and go over the film and look at some of the young guys, and maybe PW, one of those guys. It wasn't a lot of snaps, but I can go over multiple players, I think, this week, and it won't be just all about one guy. And so I think that'll be fun to go back and look at some of the rookies, like Marcel Harris and Julian Taylor and PETA, and see how those guys did.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. Do it.
Absolutely. Let's do that. So I'll tease that. That's coming up later in the week. Also have a crossover coming up on Wednesday and probably a mystery guest for Thursday's show. I'm not sure who yet will be joining me, but we'll be talking to somebody. Nick, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. Thanks, everybody, for all the mailbag questions. And I will be back tomorrow, Wednesday crossover, right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.